true.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, rbnrepublicbroadcasting.org. Try to think of something imaginative, because I can't. I would say something very imaginative about it, but I can't, because my imagination center has been busy doing other things. But it's very much worth your while, so go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send a donation to keep free speech and information alive, because it's not doing too well. And also go to nationalbugle.com, download the Kosher-certified app, learn to use it. It will help you lead a non-kosher certified lifestyle. You know what else it'll do? It will get you used to thinking about what you buy, because our way out of this is through boycotting products. And although the Kosher-certified app is not a boycott app, once you're able to download and use the Kosher-certified app, you'll be able to boycott. We got to get a few other things in place before we start boycotting, but once we start boycotting, we start winning. Okay, today's Monday. Mark Collett joins us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's fantastic to be here. Always look forward to starting my week in this way. And I'm sure we've got a lot of things to talk about this week, because we were talking just before the show started that this isn't just any week, is it?
This is the last week of Black History Month. Are they going to turn up the dial? Black History Month, some people call it Black Fake History Month, but what it's increasingly becoming is White Atrocity Porn Month, where they just tell us how absolutely horrible and despicable white people have been, not just today, but forever. We've always been horrible people doing horrible things to other people.
That is something that is very, very interesting, because when you look at Black History Month. And initially, Black History Month was billed as something that was going to be a positive thing for the black community. So it was going to be a big positive. Black people would learn a sense of well-being. They would learn something about themselves. They would become more positive as people because of Black History Month. This was meant to be something that reinforced positivity for the black community. Now, isn't it funny that it is no longer that in any way? It's no longer about positivity for black people. It's actually all about negativity projected towards white people and how the black community have had terrible things done to them by white people. Now, that's very interesting, because I would always say that that was something that was by design, that this isn't an accident. This is something that has happened by design, and that Black History Month was always designed. It was never designed to be something that just uplifted black people. It was never designed to be something that simply made black people feel better about themselves, because none of this equality or progressive politics is about making simply minorities feel better. It's about raising minorities up, but then pushing white people down and ensuring that those minorities, when they're raised up and when white people are pushed down, that those minorities then hate white people. And that hatred then spills over into both violence and this is very important, political action that targets white people. Mm.
Political action. That's, and this is what we've seen. I mean, we see the United States politics. You've got an anti-white alliance and then non-anti-white white people. And that's pretty much how it divides. I mean, on the non-anti-white side, you might have some Hispanics and Asians, but basically it's most of the non-white people plus the anti-white whites ganging up on the remaining whites. And that's basically how American politics is structured right now. Black History Month, I guess, it has always included a big strain of we were oppressed, but now we're not. And, you know, the founding father of the new America is Martin Luther King. And what was Martin Luther King? He went and demonstrated, he was arrested, but he led marches, and sometimes it would be, the fire hoses would be turned on people. He was trying to stop the oppression. So there's always been that element. But if you look at the school projects kids were supposed to do, and I mean, the stereotypical one was the black inventor, right? So they trotted out this big list of blacks who invented things, something McCoy, the real McCoy, who invented some sort of, did he invent a traffic light or some sort of switch for railroads, something, right? And they trot out.
Know the one you mean. It's the one where traffic lights had been in existence in Europe for a long time, and they've been in existence in a number of ways. One of the ways that traffic lights had existed in Europe was that they were simply oil-powered lights at the side of roads, and street lights had existed in a similar way. But there was a particular black man who put a patent out on his particular type of street lighting or traffic lights, and that is regularly cited in these Black History Months as a black invention. So street lighting or traffic lights, I can't remember exactly which one it was, is now absolutely a black invention, and if it wasn't for black people, this would never have come about, and we'd been walking down darkened streets and traffics wouldn't know what to do at intersections, and where would we be today without this fantastic black inventor? But that isn't the case. What actually happened was a black man patented a particular type of traffic light or street illumination, which then obviously is something that gets shoved down our throat absolutely, totally and utterly relentlessly. And he is called an inventor. But somebody inventing something and somebody then taking an invention, modifying it and then patenting that modification is a very different thing altogether. The man who invented the television is very different from the man who looked at the television, put it in a slightly different case, altered the aesthetic to it, then patented that particular product. And I think that's very important, but it does shine a light on the disingenuous nature of this these Black History Months, and the way that it's not just, as again, it's not just about doing something positive for black people, it's about taking something away from white people.
Yeah, and one other inventor who they push is this Madam C.J. Walker, and maybe it's, you know, not, she doesn't have a term like the real McCoy that people can point to, but they've been using her image a lot. And I was a little bit surprised to log on to one of the regular commercial websites I go to, and in honor of Black History Month, they had her image there. You know, she's kind of a chubby woman, and she's dressed in, like, I don't know, 100-year-old clothes, the type of clothes they wore 100 years ago. And she had invented a lot of apparently hair care products for African Americans, but she also invented a cure for baldness, which did you know that men used to lose their hair?
So, I've never heard of that.
you lose their hair. And a couple of years ago, I was so fascinated by this, I Googled American inventors on Google and got a list, you know, the top 10 inventors, and of course McCoy was there, and this Madam C.J. Walker was there, and it was mostly black. There was Alexander Graham Bell, but it was a very black looking picture of Alexander Graham Bell, who I know is Scottish. He wasn't black, but it was a very black looking picture of him. They did have Thomas Edison, but they didn't have the Wright brothers. But of course, I mean, what good would what good would it be to be flying on an airplane if the guy in front of you had male pattern baldness? So thank you, Madam Walker. But so they have. They
are
have
you saying people. There is a cure for male pattern baldness?
Well, I mean,
because I'm not aware. I mean, that's a pretty big. That's a pretty.
I don't
big
know specifically.
Invention. If this woman invented a cure for male pattern baldness, I'm pretty sure, and I'm just throwing this out there, but I'm pretty sure she would be a household name, and that there'd be a lot of men, obviously, who were very, very happy about this. And this is I always find this as one of the big nonsenses that we're obviously talking here about nonsensical things, but really, a cure for male pattern baldness?
Well, okay, maybe I'm not being quite fair, but. From biography.com, Madam C.J. Walker invented a line of African-American hair products after suffering from a scalp ailment that resulted in her own hair loss. So it was something, a ailment for hair loss, not specifically male pattern baldness. So I'm being tiny
a little
bit,
facetious.
Yeah, a little bit, But so that's, I mean, but they always have her. This probably, if you Google inventors, you'll see her there. And so she came up with hair care products. All right, fine. The other category that you got was the first black to do such and such. And I always thought, you know, well, because if you're talking about an inventor, well, an inventor is the first person to think of something. So they're the actual first. But when it was the first black to... the first black to do something, then it's like, well, okay, but weren't white people doing that forever? And so it kind of, then you have to ask why. And in some cases, you know, if you're talking about like the first black to play in the baseball major leagues, well, then after him, lots of blacks came in and they do quite well. And so you'd say, okay, well, they were kept out. And so that's like, okay, well, white people were mean. But in a lot of other cases, you know, the first black to run a major corporation, well, you had somebody run a major corporation, but blacks haven't really been particularly good at that type of thing. I don't know, a lot of it, or the first black astronaut, they haven't been particularly good at the types of things that get you to be an astronaut. And then, of course, things that are that don't have anything to do with being selected, but where it's just like, who was the, you know, the first black to come up with a new branch of mathematics? I don't think there has been one. So a lot of the Black History Month would kind of underscore the black underachievement and lack of abilities in certain areas. But this year, it just seems to be complete atrocity porn. And what I mean is, when I was walking past the TV that was tuned into a local, I don't know what it was, maybe it was Good Morning America, or maybe it was a local news show, but just kind of some normie news show that I would never see, either as a news segment, or maybe it was during the commercial break as a public service announcement. It was just talking about how this white doctor was experimenting, doing medical experiments on black people without using anesthesia. This and just a whole long list of atrocities, and you know, some of them may have happened, some of them probably didn't happen. I mean, like that whole thing about Americans using smallpox as a bioweapon. And not just Americans, but I guess a Colonel Amherst in particular, General Amherst in particular, that's largely manufactured, because even if he had intended to send smallpox-infected blankets across the mountains to infect Indians, it wouldn't have worked, because smallpox, you need the particles floating in the air or whatever. At any rate, so there's just an awful lot of that. And it's creating so much animosity. And, of course, whites are under such a attack. It's gotten so blatant. And it's gotten blatant to the point where, I don't know if you are aware of this, but on Friday night on Tucker Carlson's show, and I'm very hot and cold on Tucker because he has some important stuff, and then he has some stuff that I really don't like that he's been doing. But he had on a Heather McDonald, who is an author, a researcher. She wrote the she wrote the Diversity Delusion, a book called The Diversity Delusion. But she said, she was talking, she said, dare I say it? I know there's going to be a lot of flack for me saying this, but white people are under attack. And of course, I mean, the attack on white people has been so blatant for so long, but you can't say it. And so it was a big deal that she just said this. So what do you think? Do you know who Heather McDonald is? And if not, what do you think of this? Like, why is there such a taboo on white people saying that they're under attack when it's just so obvious?
Well, there's a taboo because they don't want people talking about it. That's the obvious thing. There's a taboo because if white people did start talking about the fact they were under attack, we are still in enough, we still have enough numbers to actually do something about that mm-hmm. attack. There's still enough of us. Now, I think they're worried that somebody is going to sound the alarm, that there's going to be an alarm sounded, and enough white people will start listening and turn around and say, you know what, this is something that's definitely happening. What you can see here is a concerted attack on people of European descent all over the world. And this isn't just happening, and this is the important thing. This attack on people of European descent isn't just happening in America. This isn't something that is confined to America. This is something that takes place in the UK. It's something that takes place in France. It's something that takes place in Germany. This is something that takes place in Australia, Sweden. All of these Western nations are facing exactly the same kind of indoctrination of young people. We're seeing exactly the same kind of attacks on white people. And I think that is why they're trying to put this down. They have to stop any discussion of this, because this isn't an isolated thing. It's happening everywhere. It faces every single person of European descent. And if all of those people were to rise up at the same time, at the moment, when they still have a numerical advantage, something could be done about it. And they want to advance this plan. Our enemies want to advance their plan, but without us having a chance to do anything. And the longer this goes on without us acting, the more likely it is to reach its logical conclusion. And its logical conclusion is, unfortunately, very, very bad for people of European descent. It is a conclusion that leaves us at a state where we are a hated minority, either in our ancestral homelands or the countries our forefathers or our ancestors founded. And ultimately, it leads to white genocide, a position where we are reduced to such a numerical disadvantage, we eventually have no power in those countries. We have no power whatsoever in the West. We are stripped of anything and eventually stripped of our dignity and even our lives, which is what you see in places where white people do become a minority. But that can still be changed. We don't have to end up in that position. There is no definitive truth for the future. There's no absolute, nothing set in stone. We can still turn this around, but we have a much greater chance of turning it around today than we do in 50 years' time, because in 50 years' time, we will be at a greater numerical disadvantage. So that's why they are so desperate to clamp down on any discussion of this or anyone sounding the alarm, because we are still in a position where we can do something.
Okay, I think that's it's very important, because whites still have enough power to do something about it. They have to maintain a taboo on talking about it. I want to delve into this a little further on the other side of the break. Thank you.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
And we are back. And so here we are in the United States, and you just mentioned that there's a taboo on white people advocating for themselves, complaining about being under attack, even though, oh, there was a recent poll by Axios, or maybe it was commissioned by Axios, which I guess is a website or something, but there was a recent poll showing that something like three quarters of all Trump voters, which is mostly white people, and most white people voted for Trump, but three quarters of Trump voters feel that white people are under attack. There was a question worded very similarly to that. And so the feeling is actually very widespread, but we're not allowed to talk about it. And when Heather McDonald broached the subject, which Tucker Carlson dances around, he gets kind of there. He won't come out explicitly and say white people are under attack, but he gets really close to it. And then just say that identity politics is the worst thing ever and everybody knows it, which doesn't really lead to white people advocating for themselves. But you say, well, there's a taboo on white people advocating for themselves or complaining that they're being attacked because whites still have enough power to do something about it. Now, where we are in the United States today is, I'm sure when the 2020 census results are released, which hasn't happened yet, but once they're released, it's very likely that you're going to find whites, you know, you could say non-Hispanic whites. The census doesn't talk about Jews, but whites, I guess, are going to be, well, non-Jewish whites will certainly be below 60%. So you'll probably see them somewhere in the upper 50s. And it's hard to get an exact gauge on things, but if there was a big issue in this last census that illegal aliens have to be counted, and if you're going to count illegal aliens, you'll probably find that whites are going to be noticeably below 60%. So we're on our way, and then when you start looking at the demographics of maternity wards or public schools or whatnot, younger age groups, whites are already becoming a minority. So you've already got that. And what you're seeing, I think we're getting close to a kind of tipping point, especially when you consider that a segment of the white population has been incentivized either by being told it's virtuous or by being given some sort of indications that they're going to be able to feed off the corpse of feed like hyenas off the corpse of the white man and his family. You have, homosexuals and single women and single white women and whatnot who are incentivized into joining this anti-white coalition. But you're getting to this tipping point. And so you're seeing whereas there had been a taboo on whites advocating for themselves, there had been it was not exactly a taboo, but there the anti-white attacks were more subtle in the past, either more subtle or less mainstream, but they're being completely mainstreamed and they're not at all subtle. You've got the defense secretary, the black General Austin or whatever his name is, who was saying, his first priority is once he becomes Secretary of Defense is to root out white supremacy in the military. So they're going to be trying to purge white people or white identity. What could go wrong with that? That's a question, actually. What could go wrong?
Well, it's very interesting because when you actually look at what they're saying, they start, whenever they're talking about this, is we want to root out racism. That's the first thing they say. They want equality, and equality is something a lot of people have been conned into getting on board with. But that's the first thing. They need to bring in equality. Everything needs to be made equal. It needs to be equal. It needs to... Inequality equals good. Equality is good, so we need to bring in equality. Then, when they're bringing in equality, they have a problem with equality. Because they can't bring in equality whilst there is racism. So to bring in equality, they need to root out racism. So first it's bringing equality, but that can never be achieved whilst racism still exists. So the next thing is we need to tackle racism. And once they've started tackling racism, they then say, well, what's the root of racism? Because if you're going to tackle something, you have to get to the root of what causes it. Well, what does cause racism? Well, that has to be white supremacy. So then you've gone from bringing in equality to tackling white supremacy via the road of tackling racism. And once you've started to tackle white supremacy in an attempt to defeat racism, you then have to say, well, what brings about white supremacy? And the answer to that, again, seems to be quite simple. It's actually whiteness. Whiteness is the problem. They then realize that whiteness is the issue, and they have to tackle not just racism, not just white supremacy, but whiteness as a whole, because whiteness is the root of white supremacy. White supremacy is the root of racism. Racism is what prevents us from achieving this utopia, this veritable wonderland of equality.
And well, let's hear about that on the other side of the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
And we are back. And so equality means rooting out whiteness.
Equality means rooting out whiteness. And that's how they've sold it to the public, or how they're trying to sell it to the public, how they are selling it to impressionable youngsters who are at colleges, at universities, that all of this is being done to create this utopia where everyone is equal, where no one is judged for any reason other than positive aspects of their personality, where nothing is criticized, where there is no form of critical assessment of a person based on any reasonable factors. And that can include height, weight, race, sexuality, gender, belief. And at this point, what do you judge people on? Because if you can't judge people on any of these things, what can people be judged on? And the answer then becomes nothing. People can't be judged on anything. However, this is very much where the hypocrisies start to come in. You can't judge somebody for being African. You can't judge someone for being East Asian. You can't judge somebody from coming from the Indian subcontinent, but you can judge someone for being white. Mm-hmm. You can't judge someone for being genderqueer, for being transgender, for being homosexual, for being a lesbian, for being any one of the hundreds of ridiculous genders that they've dreamt up overnight. But you can judge somebody for being straight. You can't judge somebody for having any form of mental or physical disability, but you can judge somebody for being able-bodied. And at this point, you can see what's happening. If you're straight, if you're white, if you're able-bodied, if you're a traditionalist, if you're a Christian, if you are a nationalist, a patriot, if you're somebody who loves your country, loves your people, and your people happen to be white, you are the root of all evil. And the root of all evil is whiteness. It is the straight, traditional, heterosexual, white people. It's what is essentially the norm. What was the norm for tens of thousands of years in the West is now painted as the greatest evil of all time. And it's encompassed by one word, whiteness. And that whiteness to these people must be defeated at all cost. But when they say they're defeating whiteness, what they're actually doing is destroying the West and genociding white people. And all of this is being done in the name of equality. Just as tens of millions of people, well, hundreds of millions of people in the last century were genocided in the name of equality by Marxist dictatorships. All of the ills of the modern world and the vast majority of the ills of the 20th century were all carried out in the name of equality. And equality isn't just a political mindset. Equality isn't just something that is political. It is a deeply held and almost religious belief system. And I often say we are sacrificing our freedoms upon the altar of equality, but we're sacrificing much more. Soon we'll be sacrificing our children, our loved ones, upon the altar of equality. You actually see people doing this. You see parents who should be mourning the death of their children, but instead they're saying, well, my child died, but I will refuse to be angry because I have to understand the mindset of my child's killer, because their child's killer was non-white and their child is white. So to them, they would rather see their child sacrificed on that altar of equality than they would say something that would be perceived as unkind or critical of someone who is a protected minority. And this is where we are going. This is how creating a society based on equality is ultimately nothing about equality. It's about destroying Western civilization and ultimately bringing about white genocide.
So we're seeing a phenomenon. We're seeing what is supposedly a phenomenon, or a recent phenomenon. It's being reported in the news, and this is attacks on Asian Americans, violent or physical attacks on Asian Americans. Well, Colin Flaherty, who used to have, like, maybe he has it on BitChute now, he used to have these YouTube channels that just documented black crime. And that's all they did, was document black crime. He would use local footage from local TV broadcasts, because the local news does cover black crime, but the national news doesn't. National news only covers hoaxes about white crimes against blacks, but it won't actually cover black crime against whites or anyone else. But he would document this, using local news, or using, oftentimes he was using videos that black people took of themselves or other blacks abusing or committing crimes, and then uploading it to World Star Hip Hop because they thought it was funny. And so he'd use these, and he had this massive channel, and it had a playlist of just black crime against Asians. So it's been going on for a long, long time, but finally, somebody got a hold of what appears to be video of a white person attacking an Asian. Okay, and I don't know if their motive. There's been a lot of anti-Chinese, what I would call deflection propaganda, where they're blaming the Chinese for hacking Donald Trump's election, and everything's the Chinese. I'll be doing a show on that probably later this week. But at any rate, so there was some grainy, some sort of security video of somebody who could have been a light-skinned black, but the way he moved, I'm assuming he's probably white, and he was just like doing a sucker punch of some elderly Asian, probably Chinese person in San Francisco. And now you've got massive demonstrations, anti-white demonstrations against this new form of white supremacy. So all of a sudden, now that you've got, you know, this one example of a white person attacking an Asian, now there's a lot of atrocity porn. So it's as if they're trying to get Asians fully on board with the anti-white agenda. And on one of Tucker's shows from last week, when he had on a guest, and I don't remember who the guest was, but it was a male who had been doing a lot of research and was talking about the anti-white education. And Tucker says, is there anybody who's standing up against this? And the guy said, well, oddly enough, it's not even white people. It's Asians who are countering this. And if you went to the Trump, Save the Steel rallies or Stop the Steel rallies, there were actually a lot of Asians there. There was always a large Asian contingency. Some of them had their own particular agendas. But they're rolling out this to get, I guess, this one sizable, they're about 5% of the population, maybe 5-6%, to get this one group fully on board with the anti-white agenda, because obviously, I don't know if it's obvious, but in a lot of ways, they have more eggs in the same basket with white people than with minorities. When we say Asian in America, we mean typically Oriental as opposed to South Asian. But what do you think of that?
I think that is very, very interesting. And the reason I think it's interesting is because I can see to a large degree that Oriental people, or people of East Asian descent, would be very, very worried about what's happening in the West and about the treatment of white people. Because what we've got here as part of white genocide is something that could be described as a race to the bottom. It's something that could be described as an inversion of a natural society. So in a natural society, the best rise to the top, and those who are the most intelligent, the most who are highly qualified, the most erudite, the people who can do their job the best, get the job and get those top positions. And in Western society, the people who held positions of power were overwhelmingly people who are of European descent. But that wasn't just because they were of European descent. I believe that when it comes to positions of power, in business, you should employ the best person for the job. When it comes to running your country, you should employ the best people for the job, but there should be a massive, massive bias in running the country towards people who are of indigenous descent. So I don't believe that white people should be running Nigeria. I believe Nigerians should be running Nigeria. I believe people of European descent should be running European countries. Germans should run Germany. British people should run Britain. Swedes should run Sweden. It's as simple as that. But in business, the best person, the person who's most qualified, should get the job. And I should imagine Orientals are looking at what's happening in the West, and they're going to be thinking to themselves, well, there's a problem here. Because at the moment, white people aren't getting jobs, even though they're the best qualified for the job. And this presents an inversion of nature's laws. It's an inversion of the natural order of things, where the best comes out on top. But Orientals are highly capable people. They run highly structured, well-organized, polite, well-mannered, industrious nations. And they create strong, cohesive societies and communities based on very, very similar belief systems to the Western world. And when I say belief systems, I don't mean religious belief systems. I should have probably said morals. Their morality, listen to your elders, go to school, work hard, study hard, forego short-term gain for long-term gain, forego short-term pleasure for long-term desires. That is something that is present in both Western societies and in East Asian societies. And I should imagine Orientals are now looking at what's happening in the West thinking, well, if they get rid of all of these white high flyers, who are they going to come for next? Mm-hmm. Who are going to be the next group of people that are attacked for being overrepresented? And this has happened elsewhere in the world. There have been cases where white people are removed from positions of power, attacked, brutalized, and then when society doesn't become, or that country doesn't become, some utopia, some paradise of equality, those people who hoped it would become that, and those people who are very, very good at brutalizing white people or murdering white people to achieve this equality, then go after the next group of people who emerge as the high flyers. And this obviously happened in Haiti. Once the white people had been massacred, once the white people had been driven out or brutally murdered, Haiti did not become a paradise. And the anger was then turned upon people who were of mixed race origin, who had basically slightly higher IQs than the average Haitian and had taken on positions of power. And I should imagine there will be some pushback against this from people from the Oriental community.
And of course, they have been opposed to one of the means of achieving, one of the anti-white measures has been this affirmative action, where you set aside quotas for blacks in particular. It started out with blacks, but then for Hispanics and, you know, other groups. And Orientals have seen this as something that limits their numbers, even though really it almost exclusively limits whites, because the admission systems to universities and whatnot is so anti-white that it creates a lot of openings for Orientals. But at any rate, and in some parts of the country, actually, it would be disadvantageous. And it's seen as disadvantageous to Orientals. And Orientals were very instrumental in getting race eliminated as a consideration from university admissions to California state institutions. And they got this. They were part of the coalition that prohibited race-based considerations from University of California schools back in the 1990s. So this is something that they've been on for a while. And in a lot of, and then also a lot of what's going on is a transfer of wealth. The idea is to transfer wealth and resources from white taxpayers to non-white program beneficiaries. But because Orientals, including and South Asians as well, tend to be in higher income categories, they get caught up in it. They get caught up in paying the high taxes, because the taxes aren't, they have to use income levels as kind of a proxy for race. But the Orientals wind up, you know, they see their taxes going up and the benefits going to say blacks and Hispanics. So there's all of that. But, you know, the United States is below 60% now in terms of whites, but Britain is not that far along. And yet in Britain, sometimes you see maybe even more. How explicit is the anti-whiteness there in Britain?
Well, in Britain, it is very anti-white, and it is getting more anti-white all of the time. And
they maintain it, that level of anti-whiteness, when whites still are 80% or more.
Well, it's done really with things that we were talking about at the beginning of the show, things like Black History Month, because everything now...
Do they have Black History Month in Britain?
We do. Everything now is tailored to not only raising others up, but pushing white people down. And most notably, painting white people either as monsters or as the beneficiaries of monsters. And that's very, very important, because not every white person has been a monster. And white people are very, very well aware of that. So you have young white people and they can say, I have never been a monster. I've never done anything racist. I've never said anything mean to anyone. I've never done anything that's negative towards a person of color. So how do you make those people feel guilty? Well, you can't tell them they're monsters, because that doesn't wash. But you can tell them they've been the beneficiaries of monsters. So white. Monsters have given them power. Monsters have built a society in their name for them, and built that society upon horrible deeds. So what you are then saying to these young people is, you have directly benefited from these terrible, horrible actions committed by your ancestors. And your ancestors did this for you. They did this to create a better world, a world where whiteness prevailed. So you will pay in some way for the sins of your father. And this is very, very interesting, because they are crafting this narrative that you are responsible for the deeds of your forefathers, But your forefathers were all inherently evil. And questioning that, stating that your forefathers weren't inherently evil, makes you evil, or makes you a racist, or makes you a bad person, or makes you somebody who isn't progressive. And this is very, very important to note, because what you actually have here, Patrick, is a system that makes white people hate themselves for crimes. When I say crimes in inverted commas, they're really imaginary crimes, but crimes that these people never committed. And the other day, myself, Laura Towler, and Patriotic Alternative were attacked by the Daily Mirror. Why were we attacked? Why were we attacked, Patrick? Well, I'll tell you why. Because we have an alternative curriculum. We have homeschooling on our website. We have resources that young people can actually download, so that young people, parents who are homeschooling their children, can actually download. Now, I want to read something from the break.
Let's go to the break first, and then read on the other side, please.
Okay.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are back, and Mark, you were going to read something from your website?
Yes. Well, it's not from our website. It's from what the Daily Mirror said about us. It says, Patriotic Alternative claims 10,000 people a month are viewing its wholesome syllabus online during lockdown. Well, that's true. We have had a massive, massive number of people reading the syllabus. It claims it helps kids learn history and culture free from the shackles and ideology of the national curriculum. And this is very important, this next bit, because it tells you everything you need to know. Parents are told to teach their children how Britain abolished slavery. Absolutely 100% true. glossing over its involvement in the shameful trade for 300 years and blaming African chiefs for selling their people. So what is the Daily Mirror bothered about? The Daily Mirror is angry. One, because we're telling the truth. And two, because if we tell the truth, white children won't feel white guilt. That's the reason they're so angry. Now, we haven't said anything that's untrue. Britain did abolish slavery. There were never slaves in modern Britain. There was never slaves in modern Britain. That's a fact. In fact, any man that set foot on British soil, this was passed in law, was not a slave, because as soon as you set foot on British soil, slavery didn't exist in Britain. So you immediately became free. That is a fact. And most importantly, and this is a thing, we blamed African chiefs for selling their people. Well, that is true. White people did not go to Africa and run around collecting people or rounding them up. White people went to Africa.
White people were so much faster than blacks. Of course they could be there and catch them.
Exactly. And this is, you know, obviously very true. And this is what the next bit you get here is, the group is run by two controversial figures. One is neo-Nazi Mark Collett, 40 from Leeds, a Holocaust doubter who has tweeted claiming white genocide is taking place. His deputy is Laura Towler, a critic of the Black Lives Matter movement. Oh, so again,
God. Horrible people.
But isn't this very interesting? These people are telling us that our children should read their revised version of history intended to make our children hate themselves. However, if you doubt the Holocaust or if you criticize the Black Lives Matter movement, you are immediately seen as a terrible, vile, horrible person. So what you actually have here, Patrick, is a system whereby these people are openly rewriting history and attacking people who are selling the truth. So they're selling this incredibly disingenuous revisionist version of slavery, the slave trade, white supremacy, and this is all complete lies. But if you question the Holocaust or if you're a critic of the Black Lives Matter movement, you're a monster, which tells you everything you need to know.
It sure does.
These people are creating an absolute doctrine based upon an almost religious belief in something, mm-hmm. and that is equality.
Well, thank you very much. People can go to your BitChute channel and watch your weekly documentaries and your patriotic alternative. The Patriotic Weekly Review. They can watch that. And of course, the big question is: in the future, are white people running out of gosh darns to give? Because I don't know if I can give a gosh darn anymore. But we'll have to talk about that in another show.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'll see you next week.
Okay. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.